Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah, chapter 58. And we are going to read verses 11 through 14 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah 58, verses 11 through 14. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. That's for us fellas yesterday, amen. And thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, thou shalt honor him, and not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And let's pray. Father, you sure are good to us. You sure have been sweet and kind. And God, I pray that you'd help us today. May we please you with all that is said and done. God, we need you this morning. We've got to have you. We've got to have your presence. I pray that you'd do it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am going to start the sermon. You'll think I'm going to throw a tirade this morning. I am not. I am going a totally different direction in attitude from my introduction, but I think I need to lay the foundation in such a way. I am sick and tired of America accepting the sin and evil of our day. I am sick and tired of America and we Christians accepting how deplorable people live. I am weary of letting the liberals, the God-haters, and the milquetoast Christians tell us you can't build a church in this generation. I don't know about you, that just makes... I'm one of those people, tell me I can't do it, I'm going to do it. I just don't believe it. First of all, man doesn't build a church, God builds a church. Second of all, the church is not for all these goody-two-shoes, it's for us lost sinners and us sinners that need help. God has been more successful for a lot longer than anybody around today. Did you catch that? Why does man want to try to improve on God? Think about that. Man cannot improve God. The problem is man wants to be God. Man wants to have God fit his ideals instead of conforming to what God says do. You see, let's look at world history for a moment. Man, in all of his own wisdom, has made a mess of things. Have you ever noticed how stupid man can be? Ladies, not time for you to holler amen. But let's face it, look how deplorable world history has become over the millenniums. Who was it? Ben Franklin, who said, the only thing that man learns from history is that we do not learn from history. Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. What is the purpose of studying history? The purpose of studying history is to find out what people did in the past that worked and repeat it. Find out what they did in the past that did not work and don't repeat it. It seems like those in power today have never read real history. You see, we... In the 1700 years before the flood of Noah, look how bad things were. In 1700 years, God had to destroy the world and start over. We think it's bad now. Can you imagine how bad it was then? Now, wait a minute. It looks like nothing but war, strife, failing societies have been happening for more than 4,000 years. You know, there are very few societies in the world that have been around a long time and maintained their integrity the whole time. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but America are the new kids on the block. We are an infant nation. We were thrust into superpower and elite status within the first 100 years of our founding. And because of that, we've let it go to our heads. We have to realize we are but a blip on the history timeline of life. We really are. We have seen the rise and fall of the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Chinese Empire, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, the British, and many, 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 many others throughout history. You see, all of these people became powerful in the world and forgot God. And where are they today? Everybody doing okay? America needs to wake up. We need to get back to the principles of our founding. That's the Constitution in the Bible, by the way. And let these principles guide us, not our emotions. It's not our opinions and our philosophies. It's America holding true to the principles that it was founded on. By the way, Christianity needs to get back to that. It's not what I think about Christianity. It's what does God say? I hold in my hand the words of God, not man's words. These are God's words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we don't have a Bible that's an every word Bible, man cannot live. Man did not write this. God wrote this, if you have a King James. Now, wait a minute. When Christianity gets away from that, then it's, well, let's put contemporary music to our services so that we can reach more people in a modern era. Gag. God does not want us adding the devil's methods to his place. We're not supposed to add our words to his words to make it more easily understood. It cracks me up. They call me shallow because I believe the King James Bible, but they have to have Bibles that are easier to understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. If they had the God of the book, they'd have him teach it to them, and they wouldn't have to try to impress you with how much they don't know. Now, I'm probably going to make somebody mad, but that's okay. I don't care if the Pope says, as he said this week, you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven. You can be forgiven by God if you follow your conscience. I hate to tell the man with a $500,000 grapefruit on his head, he's sending people to hell with that philosophy. I don't care what he thinks he can do. People go to heaven because they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, not because they have a good conscience. My Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Pope needs to read his Bible, not tell people what they want to hear. Say, are you afraid to say that? Do I look afraid? The Bible says in the days of Noah, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Listen to what the Pope said. You do not have to believe in God to go to heaven. You can be forgiven by God if you follow your own conscience. The Pope needs to get right with God and tell people what God said in the Bible, not what he wants them to hear. Now I'm going to get nice. The job of Grace Baptist Church, listen to me, is not to reach the world. Now listen very carefully. Our job is to obey God. When we obey God, we will reach more of the world than we could have had we not obeyed God. That is the job of Grace Baptist Church. Do I believe in world missions? You better believe it. That's why we're supporting 6 different missionaries right now in the first year of our church. Everybody doing okay? And I'm good with it. By the way, the Bible says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then the uttermost part of the earth. This is Jerusalem to us. We're reaching this area. Judea is the surrounding areas. Then Samaria is our country. And then you have the uttermost part of the earth. We support folks here in the United States as well as abroad in our missions program. And it will stay that way. Say why? Because that's God's plan. Am I for world missions? You better believe it. And I hope some of our young people surrender and go to the mission field. I'm for it. If I've said it for 33 years since I went to Mexico the first time. I'm looking at my mom to remember how old I was, because she remembers praying, don't send him, don't send him, don't send him. No, but I promise you, I came back from Mexico the first time. I was ready to go back and spend my whole life there. And if God would have allowed, I'd have done it. And by the way, I'd have been safer there in the will of God than here out of the will of God. Grace Baptist Church needs to obey God and do what God wants us to do. We will not build Grace Baptist Church. God will. If we obey him, guess what? It'll grow. If we disobey him, it will not. It's that simple. Now, listen to me very carefully. We read in Isaiah 58 together just a little while ago. There's a passage in there that shows us how we are going to build Grace Baptist Church. God says in verse 12, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the paths to dwell in." Boy, if that's not a picture of what our church is supposed to be, I don't know what is. I preach to you today how God will choose to use Grace Baptist Church to be built. Number one, God says that we are supposed to build. Did you get that? God said we are supposed to build. It's time for the Christians to get off their blessed assurance and decide they're going to do something for God, just not their own self. To build means to set up. That means we've got to get set up, we've got to get organized, we've got to get established, and we've got to start moving things along. We can talk about building this, building that, building this, building that, but if you don't do anything, you're not going to build anything. I've been in church business a long time, and I hate using that term because it sounds secular, but I've been in the church building business an awfully long time. I know one thing, man does not build a church, God does. But God chose to use human beings to do it. I just know that. You need to get started for God. I shared with the men yesterday, I got lots of plans. As soon as we finish the contract, sign the lease on this thing, I'm already getting quotes. We're putting brand new carpet in this building right here. Say why? I am sick and tired of this nasty old stuff, but guess what? It served us well, and we've seen a heap of folks saved because of it. I don't think it's hurt our spirit very much. Am I embarrassed by it? I'm embarrassed by the stains, but guess what? I'm not embarrassed by God. I'm doing the best I got right now. I'm not sinking thousands of dollars into a piece of carpet until I know we're going to stay here a while. I think we need to be wise with God's monies, and we're going to do that. I got plans. Oh, do I have plans? I have more plans than you have money. I'm excited about it. I know where we're headed with the next step. I know we're getting ready to redo our nurseries from top to bottom. We're going to move the nurseries into where my office and my secretary's office are, redo those top to bottom, move our offices out front by the front doors where it's supposed to be so the delivery people don't have to come in here, hello, and shout and find out who we are, where we are. It's exciting. But there's a lot of things we're going to do. It's going to take your money. We're working on some quotes right now for some new bathrooms, amen. You won't have a line that's 20 miles long to go potty between Sunday school and church. We will have plenty of space. We've got 37,200 square foot in this building. We're going to have big bathrooms, amen? I'm going to build them one time and be done. If I have to make them double story, we'll do it. Okay? That doesn't mean, anyway. It's not going to be a double-decker outhouse, all right? That's all I'm going to tell you. Now, wait a minute. It's time we get started. That means, fellas, when it's time to pull up this old nasty carpet, what's left of it, and sometimes that's worse than pulling up good carpet, we're going to need some help. We're going to do some of the work ourselves. We're not going to install it ourselves because it's not going to look that bad. We're going to have it done the right way. But it might take us, we're good at demolition, amen? When it comes time to paint this, we're going to need some help. We're going to need some help painting. Say, why? I don't believe a church is carpet and paint, but I think it ought to be enjoyable while we're here. I don't think we have to be fancy, but I do want to be first class. We've covered holes and patched and done what we can to make this as first. This is a warehouse building. It doesn't look real good. Guess what? We're working at it little at a time. We haven't even signed the papers yet, and we're still primping up. And good night, Mrs. Ecker made new curtains over there. My secretary put new flowers out in the foyer today on the two tables out there. We bought these trees, and you ladies are just having a time with this stuff. Hey, have at it. I'm for it. Amen. I'm colorblind. I don't care what color it is. You know, as long as there's food here, amen, men? Okay, we'll make it happen. You know, we need to organize ourselves, and we're organized. We have Sunday school classes, and by the way, getting ready to split one of our Sunday school classes so we can multiply a little bit, amen? We organize our music. We organize the services. There is an order of service for every service we have here. I can't tell you I always follow it, but we have one. We've got it all here. You say, why? Because I believe for God to use us, you have to have a plan to build with. If you're going to go build a house, guess what the first thing you have to do is? Pick out plans. You have to have a blueprint to know where everything's going to go. You just don't show up with a couple truckloads of wood and a bunch of plumbing and electrical supplies and say, okay, y'all, let's build something. It doesn't work that way. You have to have a plan. You have to have your plans prepared. You have to have them approved and all those other things. Can I tell you why? That's how you build something. You've got to have plans. The word build also means repair. We're not going to build an entire building, but we're going to repair a building. We're going to let it fit our needs. We're going to build some Sunday school classrooms over there. We're going to build in our foyer over here and put a little carport out there for you to drive under after we cut the fence down. Don't put that on tape for the owner yet. you know, we're going to build some things, but it doesn't mean we don't have to put up another building. Glory to God. Say, what are you going to do? We're going to repair the one we have to make it fit for what we need. Can I tell you what church is? It's for broken people. Church is not a museum where you put people on display and say, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. Church is a hospital where you go when you're sick and you need help. Church is a place where you let the doctor work on you, Dr. Jesus, amen, and he'll work on your life and fix you because you're sin sick. Julie and Ron's little boy, Ben, he got a nice big old boo-boo across his forehead. He was running in a house like every good boy ought to do, amen? And he busted his head open. Thank God. Now, you don't go to the hospital. You didn't take Ben to the hospital because he was feeling good. Say, why'd you go? You went because he was in need. Probably mom was more in need than anybody, but, you slice those watermelons open, they pop real good, you know? I raised two boys. Trust me, I know. I looked at Julie yesterday and I said, Julie, that's rough. Wait till they're 18 and they stick their finger in the lawnmower blade like mine did a couple weeks ago. Fortunately, God was good and he didn't lose the whole thing. Amen. Just nicked the tip of that thing. I'll promise you, I got an 18-year-old boy that knows what the lawnmower is, and he's been told his whole life, but he has a new assurance of it. We didn't go to the hospital because he was feeling good. Matter of fact, he was so mad, he was telling his mother and I on the way to the hospital, in pain, he's saying, tell him I cut it with a knife. He said, Mom, tell him the neighbor's dog bit it. Don't tell him. I mean, he was so mad at it. He said, I was doing it saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. He said, why did I do it? I said, because you're a man. I said, we don't know why we do that. I said, but you learned a good lesson. I said, it can be fixed. Don't worry. Now, wait a minute. We're all in need of repair. I don't care how good of a Christian you think you are, you're still a sinner. You still have a long way to go to get as good as Jesus. You say, when will I be that good? When you awake in his likeness. And that's not on this side, and I'm not looking forward to that anytime soon. You know, and I'm not afraid to say this, let's build people, not criticize them. If I have to tear down Bob Kellerman to lift myself up, guess what? I'm a pretty puny person. If you have to tear somebody down and criticize somebody just to look good, everybody around you has got a bag that they're heaving in. I probably shouldn't say barf bag, but I'm going to do it. Amen. You know, it gags people to watch somebody say, well, I'm better than they are. Did you hear about? Who cares? You're comparing yourself to something pretty puny. Let's look at the rest of their life, just not the part that you saw. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Say, what are we supposed to build? Glad you asked. The Bible says that we're supposed to build the old waste places. I love this. Jeremiah, I just about had a spell when I did this. The old waste places. That means decayed, desolate. Another word for it is landfill, Brother Gus. God said we're supposed to build the landfills. Can I tell you something? These are places where old, junky, rotten, nasty things are placed, put underground, and turned into something useful. Guess what? All of us have things that need to go into the junk heap of life. All of us have old rotten rags. Our righteousness is as dirty as filthy rags. And we need it placed into a landfill and covered up and turned into something useful for God. Go over here off of Grapevine, you got the old landfill that's back here. They've turned it into a great big grassy hill and stuff, into a park. Can I tell you something? You know what's under it? Everybody's trash. But now it's something useful. They turned it into something that's useful. Why is it that we want to tear the dirt and tear the grass off the top and show everybody what's underneath? I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, and I'm tired of people in churches that are sinners. Well, what choice do you have? Well, I think that we ought to be more open about people's things. Why do we want to know what everybody else has done? You got enough to worry about at home, honey. You don't need to worry about somebody else's. And by the way, you want to hear what everybody else did, but do you want us telling what you've done? And what would good would it do anyway? For 11 months and 4 weeks, I've been saying this, and I'm going to say it again to the day I die, which hopefully is a long time away. I don't care who it is. They walk through the doors of this church. They are welcome here. Anybody hear that? They're welcome here. If we're doing our job, they ought to be coming. Some of you better be glad that was true because that's how you got here. Who are you to criticize? Guess what? We're going to have sinners that play our piano. Now, they're not going to play honky-tonk music on it. But guess what? Sinners will play our piano. You're going to have somebody that stands behind this pulpit someday singing, either as a solo or in a group someday, that has had sin in their life. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus isn't available right now. But guess what? If they're saved and they've cleaned themselves up a little bit, God said there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's going to be someday somebody that's a sinner that teaches Sunday school. A sinner's going to teach your children. Yeah, because he has sinners for parents. Now, I'll be wise. Trust me. Somebody that was walking the streets last week as a prostitute's not going to work the nursery next week. But guess what? If we're doing our job, we're going to reach people that have been doing that. Say, what is that? Building the old waste places. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. It's going to get tougher. We use the word saved. Do you know what that word actually means? It means salvaged. Do you know what the word salvage means? Junkyard. You took something that was worthless, broken apart, fixed it up, resold it, and salvaged it from being put away forever. Guess what? Salvation means your life got salvaged from going to hell. Salvaged from not being usable by God to being able to be used by God. Boy, I love that. Say, what's Grace Baptist Church going to do to grow? We're going to build the waste places. We're going to go out and find sinners. I was out recently. I talked to someone. They said, yeah, I met somebody from your church. But I hear at your church, you've got sinners there. I said, no. They said, you admit that? I said, the pastor's a sinner. They didn't know I was the pastor at the time. They said, I figured that's the way those preachers are. And I looked at him, I said, uh-huh. And I took him to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I said, by the way, you're not so hot yourself. I said, you're a sinner too. They looked at me. I said, by the way, I'm the pastor. They said, uh-oh. I said, it's okay. I said, did you hear me say a little while ago, the pastor's a sinner? I said, I'm no better than you are. Oh, Pastor Bush, I'm sorry. I said, you don't have to be sorry. I said, you're right. My church is full of sinners. I said, do you not go to work this week because where you work, there's sinners? They said, never thought about it that way. I said, who could go to church if they were sinless? They said, nobody's ever explained it to me that way. I said, I'm not mad at you. I said, but you're right. My church is full of sinners and you're invited too. Guess what? Our church is for sinners. Next thing the Bible says, we need to raise up the foundation. I like this. The foundation of a building is what the building sits on. My wife and I were, I was an assistant pastor in Charleston, South Carolina for about 4.5 years back in the mid to late 90s. South Carolina is called the Low Country. There's a reason. From about Myrtle Beach to Savannah, it's one huge swamp. You think I'm kidding? I'm not, am I? It is one big swamp. Charleston, South Carolina, the highest point in Charleston, 7 feet above sea level. When Hurricane Andrew ripped through there back in the late 80s, that's why all the way 20 miles in they had tidal surges. Because twice a day, downtown Charleston floods. When high tide comes in twice a day, the downtown streets literally flood from high tide. It's about like down in New Orleans area. I mean, it just sits so low. You can get water with a shovel in about 5 minutes. When it rains, I'm not lying. Brother and Mrs. Hawkins are from Charleston. They'll tell you this. When it rains, the rain comes down and the water comes up. I've never seen a place where the water comes up out of the ground when it rains, but it does. Say, why? Because it just sits so low and the water table's right there. Wait a minute, down there, you have to dig down to put a deep foundation in. And most, I don't know of a house down there that has a basement. If it does, it's just nothing but a swimming pool. Say why? They have to build up the foundations and they put the houses on a raised foundation so that it can weather the storms and weather the flooding. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to build people's foundation up so they can weather the storms and the floods of life. It is our job to raise up the foundation. It's extra work. You're right. But guess what? When we raise it up, their life can maintain and sustain during the winds and the water and the flooding and all the pounding of life that will come their way. You raise that foundation to prevent damage. Can I tell you something? We are going to raise the foundation of people's lives so they can weather the storms of life. Hey, those tough days are coming. The news is going to come, somebody has cancer. The news is going to come that somebody has a life-threatening disease. The news is going to come that a child's broken your heart. The news is going to come that the storm is coming your way. Guess what? We're here to raise the foundation so you can make it through. That's what it's all about. Hey, I know what it's like. I live in those stages of life. Just the other morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang, and I'm glad it rang because there was somebody that had a storm coming and they needed a foundation that was strong to say, help. Keep calling. It's okay. Now, don't call me to tell me you can't sleep. Okay? But if there's a need, by the way, I hung up my phone and I rejoiced that person had enough confidence in their preacher that at 3 a.m. they could call. I went back to bed with tears in my eyes, Brother Smith. I said, maybe somebody knows I love them. Whew. They could call at that hour. Maybe they know I really do care. Now, you say, what are you like at 3 a.m? Just like you are. I don't want to get my carcass out of bed. But God does something, and it's a miraculous thing. The switch goes on for the brain. Say, why? Because nobody thinks straight at 3 a.m. Nobody. But God gives you enough sense when you need it. Can I tell you something? It's our job to raise that foundation. There's going to be young people in our church that grow up and make mistakes. Guess what? We've got to build a sure foundation for them. Say, Mo, my kids will never go back. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Your kids are sinners just like the rest of our kids are. And I don't care whose children they are. Did y'all hear that? I know this. When it comes to the cross, it doesn't matter what your last name is. God doesn't care. We need to raise the foundation to weather the storms of life. You know what? I plan for many generations this church to be a strong foundation for many generations. If you notice verse 12 there, it says, to raise up the foundations of many generations. It is our job to send out many generations who have a solid foundation and that are solid for God, to where God can build on their lives. Our church is a year old. We have 5 young people at Bible college right now. That's pretty good for the next generation. Guess what? That's just the first year. What are we going to do in 20 years? I got a lot of plans. Now, by the way, we have other of our young people that are going to other colleges and are in the area here, and I'm just as proud of them. But spiritually speaking, to have, get that thing off here. To have 5 young people in the first year of a church at Bible college, that's pretty big. That's pretty big. That doesn't mean you're not right with God if you don't go to Bible college, young people. Just so you know, that's not how I live my life. I don't believe every teenager in this church ought to go into the ministry full time. You only ought to go into the ministry if God called you. Anybody doing okay? But I do think it's wise for all of our young people to spend their first year at Bible college to get a solid foundation so that if they are going into a secular career, that the secular colleges don't screw your brain up so bad that you don't live a Christian life the rest of your life. Next. The Bible says, man, I love this, that we be called the repairer of the breach. Do you know what a breach is? It's a hole. Those of you men that are hunters, if you've got a muzzle loader, there's a little plug at the end of your barrel. You put your black powder in, and then you put either your pad or your bullet with a plastic cap on it and push it down in there. And you put your black powder cap at the back of that thing, and that sparks, and it goes through that little hole, ignites the gunpowder, and shoots that ball out. That little back piece there, when you take that thing out, it's called a breech plug. You got to screw that thing out and clean it out so that it stays clear, so that the spark from the cap can get to the gunpowder. And that little hole is the only thing separating those two things. If it gets plugged up, it won't spark, it won't fire. You'll pull up on a deer and go, click, uh-oh. And wait, and wait, and wait, and wait, and wait. And then the worst thing of all, you got to put that gun down hoping that somehow it's not fizzing in there, going to come back up and hit you. Most unnerving thing there is a muzzle loader loaded when you've pulled a cap off and it doesn't go off. I've seen those things after 40, 50 seconds then go off. It's very unnerving. God said we're supposed to be the repairer of the breach. Any of you men that work security, you know what I'm talking about. If you walk the perimeter of a building or a security line, if there is a breach in the security, that means there's a hole to where someone could get in and get out undetected. God said we are to be the repairer of the holes in the security for people's lives. Can I tell you something? Brother Hiles used to say it this way, there's got to be some mean old man at the top walking guard. Guess what? That's what my job is. I'm supposed to walk around this church, not talking about the building necessarily, but around you and your family, walking guard saying, hey, look, let me protect you. You're about to screw up. Let me help you fix that little hole in your fence before you have a major problem. Say, what are you going to do? We're going to teach the Bible, and you're going to follow the Bible so that you have less holes in your fence to where your kids and your grandkids and your own life doesn't get out of hand, to where you have it patched so full of holes that nothing will hold. By the way, that's why it's not man's programs, it's God's. Come back tonight if you want to hear me throw a fit. We'll get to it in a moment. We need to fill the gap in people's lives. Just here a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, I taught about separation in our music. And I said, some of you that need good music, come see me. We'll replace your bad music with the good music. That's how you fix the breaches in people's lives. You don't criticize them because they have bad music. You make a wherewithal for them to have good music provided for them. That's why I'm having Mrs. Coral in here in the next about 4 weeks from now. Say why? So that we can have good music to put into your homes and provide for your family so that you can fix that gap in your life. Boy, that's good stuff. That means you need to show up as often as you can to keep the holes from getting bigger in your life. I think you ought to be at Sunday school. I think you ought to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. I think you ought to be at everything you can possibly be at. Can I tell you why? Otherwise, you're going to have holes in the security of your life and in the security of your family. Now, I realize somebody didn't make it to Sunday school this morning. I have no idea. I was teaching my own class. I know who was there. That's all that matters. And I'm not criticizing you if you were here. If you weren't here, I didn't know you weren't here, okay? I'm not talking about you today. Wait till next week. No. But I'm talking about you ought to be here. You say, why? Because that's what's going to strengthen your life. You say, well, our church is new and it doesn't have this, it doesn't have that. No, but Sunday school is a time where we socialize a little bit. That's our social. Did you ever walk into this building about 9:30 on a Sunday morning? There's more food here than Cracker Barrel. Good night. I can't visit Sunday school classes anymore because I get 10 pounds heavier every week. Here, preacher, eat this. I ate enough yesterday to last all week. Yes. Say, what did you do when you went home? I sat on my recliner chair and let it just all settle because I couldn't do anything. If I'd have done too much, I'd have lost it, and it wasn't worth losing because it was too good. Wait a minute. That means we need to seek counsel. We need to seek wise advice. Can I tell you something? When the problems come in your life, don't just try to handle it. Get some advice. And I'm not, this is hard for me to help you with because it's going to come out wrong, but I happen to believe God gives the man of God the right answer for the problem you have. I just believe that. Say, are you right all the time? No, but I'm right more times than you are about that problem. Amen. Say, why? Because I've been doing it a long time. You think I'm going to go buy a van without some advice? I don't understand mechanics, but I took a guy with me that did. In fact, took two of them. Say, why'd you take those two old codgers? Because they've bought enough vehicles in life to know what's good and what's not. My dad happened to have worked for Ford Motor Company for an awfully long time. He knew more about that vehicle than the guy selling it. Trust me. Say, why'd you take him? Because he's your dad? No. He knows more about it than I do. If one of those guys would have said, guess what? We're turning around driving back. Say, why? I needed the wisdom. I needed the advice. Everybody doing okay? If I need advice from time to time, guess what? So do you. I don't understand everything about life. But I'll promise you, there's few problems you face that I haven't already been through them with somebody. I'll promise you. I have faced more things in my life than I care to even think about or ever talk about. Seeking counsel is a way of letting wisdom seal the cracks in the fence. Seal the holes. Everybody listen to me. The fool has said experience is the best teacher. Somebody else's experience is. Our dentist friend over here. The thing that would scare me most is going to a dental college, letting somebody work on my mouth. First time somebody's got that drill in their hand. Now, they got to get experience, but they're going to do it on somebody else, not me. I want a guy like that that's got some years under his belt that knows what he's doing, amen. You let me drill on your teeth once. Say, no way, Brother Bush, you have never done it. Why would you want to go out and do something stupid to figure out it was something stupid? You know, I don't have to go out and get drunk, Brother Mike, to figure out that's not something I want to do. I've watched enough people be stupid, drink enough, ruin their families, puke everywhere, which never makes sense to me. Do all that mess and see how it ruins their families. Why would I want to go out and experience it to say, boy, that's something bad to do? That doesn't make sense, does it? Then why do you want to do that with the rest of your life? That's what seeking wise advice is all about. Boy, that's good stuff. And I got to finish. Next, last point here. The Bible says that we are to be the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Everybody look at me. Thank God for restoration. That means something had been grown over or deteriorated, fixed up, repaired, and put back to good use. Guess what? That's what we are. This is the time of the season. Those of you hunters, you're going back out and visiting your deer stands that have been hung since last year. Some of you have to prune a few limbs, cut some trees down, clear the path off a little bit to get back to where you were. You say, why? Because it's had about 10, 11 months of growth. Some of you just keep wandering around trying to find where it's at because you forgot where it was. You say, why? Because the path grew over. You got to beat that trail down to be able to find it again. There's a bunch of people in this quad state area, tri-state area, whatever you want to call this thing. They need those old paths fixed up in their life so they can find their way again. There's people out there that may have already known what to do and they got away from it. Guess what? It's our job to bring them back, to restore them. And let me say this, there's going to be people that grow up in this church who are sitting in this church today that in a year or 5 years from now, you're going to get away from it. Guess what? There's going to be a way back. The path is going to be clear for you. Just come on back. Just come on back. I talked to somebody recently. They said, how would your church accept us? I said, with open arms, trust me. Nobody there is going to look down on you. I promise you. Say why? Because that's what we're all about. By the way, we've got to beat that path down for following generations. It might be that you could find your way, but what about your kids? What about your grandchildren? What about your great-grandchildren? Let me ask you a question. Just because you can do it, sir, doesn't mean everybody else is going to find their way 20 years from now. My goal is not to build this church for only the years I pastor it until I go to heaven. My goal is, if Jesus doesn't come back, when this old nasty-looking body is laying in a box somewhere, that the next guy that stands in this pulpit as pastor can pick up and build on it, not watch it fall apart. Say why? I want the path to be clear. I want it to be plain and simple. Everybody doing okay? This means we need to fix up the ways that work and repeat it. We don't need the new path. Notice it says the restorer of paths to dwell in. It doesn't say build new paths. We don't need the newfangled garbage. We're not going to put drum sets and have electric guitars and have rock and roll music, supposedly with God's words to it, to do things. That's man's way, not God's way. We're going to sing the old songs. We're going to have the old songs. We're going to be an old-fashioned church. I was talking to somebody recently, and they said, "What kind of church are you?" I said, "Old-fashioned." I said, "When you walk in, you're going to know you're in an old-fashioned church." They said, "We didn't know anything like that's around." I said, "Show up, you'll find out. I promise you, you go back in history 100 years, this is what church was all about. It's the kind of church some of you gray hairs grew up in." Brother Taylor, I'm going to tell on you again. 8 years ago now or so, I knocked on that man's door. It was about 7:30 at night, starting to get dark. It was in the fall. He come to the door. I told him who I was. I was from the church. He said, "Church, bunch of phonies." Said bunch of, I am going to quote you. I probably shouldn't use this word. It's become a bad word, but that's okay. He said, "Bunch of queer loving churches." He said, "Gone." He said, "Just nothing but a bunch of phonies." And boy, for about the next 30 seconds, he went off. I said, hold it. That was the first words out of his mouth. Yeah, that kind guy that was at the door greeting you today. You didn't know he did that, did you? That wasn't the first impression I had, just so you know. I said, hold it. That's not what we're about. He said, "Sure." I told him what we were. He said, "Can't be a church like that." He said, "Come on in." I talked to him and his wife. They got saved. They came to church. And now we can't get rid of him, and I'm glad. He's here every time the door squeaks, and he's the first one to open it. Amen? Can I tell you why? He found something that wasn't phony. He said, "I didn't think anything like this was still left in America." Guess what? It is. We need to keep the path clear for those who follow us. I can find my way to any deer stand I have, day, night, dark, or bright, because I know where it's at. My dad and I was in Indiana as an assistant pastor. My dad came up from Indianapolis and met me. We were going to go hunting in a place almost about halfway between us, a place called Rensselaer, Indiana. My insurance man had about 20 acres there. I literally hunted in his front yard. He had a patch of woods on either side of his driveway in his front yard. And then he had bunch of woods in the back and golf course on one side and farm country behind it. And I mean, it was great. He said, "Come on out, Craig." He said, He said, "I love them. I feed them." He said, "I won't feed them then because that's illegal for you." But he said, "Come out and take them." He said, "That's no problem." So Dad and I met down there. He had never been on the property, Brother Bob. I said, "Okay, Dad." I walked him. I took him almost directly where my stand was. I said, "Dad, follow this little deer path right here. You go about 25 yards up in the tree." And it's 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black out. He doesn't even know the layout of the land. I said, "And there's a tree stand right there." I said, "Now pay attention, Dad." I said, "I'm going across the driveway, across the front yard. I'm going over here. There's a cut through right down through there. I'm going to be on this side of the cut through about 30 yards in." He said, "All right, got it." Sure enough, a couple hours later, daylight hits. Here comes two deer down the trail by me. I busted one. The other one's standing there looking at it. It wasn't West Virginia. You couldn't take two deer. You were allowed one deer. Say, what'd you do? I jumped up. Yeah. And I chased the other deer to go at my dad. Thinking, he's going to get one too. This is quick hunting season. Amen. About that time, that deer takes off, spins, runs across the front yard. I said, going straight for him. Here it goes. That thing hit the woods, and all of a sudden I hear. Now, in Indiana, you don't use rifle. You use 12-gauge with pumpkin balls in them, amen? And all of a sudden I hear kaboom, and I hear shoo, kaboom, shoo. I'm thinking, he's shooting at me, man. I hit the ground, rolled up against a tree. I hear three more shots, beep, 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 hitting trees, you know. I say, good God, Dad, kill that thing, not me. I take my orange vest off. I'm swinging it. Dad, you know. I said, did you get it? He said, I don't know. Where are you? I said, I'm here. Are you unloaded yet? He said, what are you doing over there? I said, I told you where I was going to be. Where are you? I said, don't shoot. He said, okay. I come walking in. He never made it to the stand. He's standing on the ground parallel shooting right at me. He said, couldn't find it. He said, but boy, that deer came out. I got mine. He missed, by the way. It's okay. He's killed more than I have. Now, wait a minute. I didn't mark the trail very well for him. I knew where it was. He didn't. That's a picture of most churches. You got some people that know the way, but they don't tell somebody else exactly how to repeat it. Say, what'd you do? Oh, we made sure the next time he knew where that stand was at. Trust me. We're going back to the old ways, the old church ways, the old music, the old King James, the old-fashioned hard work, the old people skills, the old Holy Spirit of God-filled services, and the old preaching style. One of our neighbors across the street came to church here a few weeks ago. Brother Mark Rogers and I, one of our deacons, went. We went door to door to all of our neighbors, just as neighbors, took a little gift and a little letter from me, and I introduced myself to them. One of our neighbors came to church. I think my dad or one of our men was walking him out, and he said, I didn't know anyone lived this way anymore, especially young people. I like it when somebody calls me young. He said, I really didn't know any place like that existed anymore. By the way, that's a compliment. That's a compliment. I want people to walk in. I had somebody try to criticize me. They said, oh, you're just so old-fashioned. You're going way back in time. I said, thank you very much. They said, we didn't mean that as a compliment. I said, too bad. I took it that way. God wants to build this church. Do I want to see it grow? Oh, yeah, I do. You say, do you have numeric goals? No, I don't. I just want to reach every person I can reach. Well, what's your goal for next year? To reach more people. Say, well, how many? As many as I can reach. As many as you can reach. As many as the people that we reach can reach. And on and on and on. I'm not worried about a number. I'm in competition with nobody but the devil, just so you know. I'm not calling around to see who's running what. They got enough problems, and I got enough problems. I don't need to know what they're doing, and I don't worry about it. And God didn't call us to be them. God called us to be Grace Baptist Church. I'm not playing politics. I'm not trying to build the fastest growing church or the world's largest growing church. We're going to build the church God has for us right here at this time, reaching as many people as we can reach. Say how? We're going to build. We're going to raise up the foundation. We're going to get back to restore the old paths. We are going to do those things that God said we should do. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be a builder? Or you just want to show up? By the way, I want you just showing up. If you're still showing up, God's got a chance to use you. Don't get mad. Get glad. No. So many people think, well, I'm not doing something. I'm not welcome there. You're welcome here no matter what. Did you catch it? You're welcome. But you'll find out the more you do, the happier you are. Hey, fellas, you know what I'm talking about. Seems like the more you work on your marriage, the happier your marriage is. The more you work with kids, the more your kids, you enjoy your kids. Now, I realize if they're about that tall to about that tall, you're ready to choke them at any one day. Trust me. But eventually, you get through that stage. And the more you do with them, the more you enjoy it. Can I tell you why you put something into it? Some of you don't enjoy church because you don't put anything into it. I'm not talking about your money. You can have your money. I'm talking about your life. Let me ask you a question. Are you even saved? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday? That's the most important thing. You say, why is your church in existence? To reach every human being we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them how that we're all sinners. Because we're sinners, we deserve hell, and that Jesus Christ paid that price for them. That you can't get to heaven by what you do, only by what he did. And show them how that is all they have to do is trust Jesus Christ as their Savior to take them to heaven, and then watch them grow. That's what it's all about. Guess what? I'm not in a competition for anybody. I'm just trying to get our church to obey God. That means you must obey God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. There's been a time in my life where I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. I would never embarrass anybody. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to have some experience. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today and I'll not call you by name, I'll not call you out, I'll not come to you, I'll not send somebody to you. But you'd say, Brother Bush, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. In a moment, we'll all stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. There will be people using this altar. If you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, would you let somebody in a matter of moments, and I mean literally 2 to 3 minutes, you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. We'll show you what the Bible says, not what the church says, but what the Bible says. Maybe you're here and you've been coming for a while and you'd like to join our church. We'd love to have you. I'm not going to pull any punches. This is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. We believe the book the way God wrote it, not the way man interprets it. We just believe it as is. But don't walk out those doors not sure of heaven. That's the most important thing for you. You may never come back. We're not guaranteed another service.